You're listening to the Hockey Podcast Network. New shows every day. Find us at thehockeypodcastnetwork.com or wherever you get your podcasts from.
Welcome to your Canadiens Connection on Rocket Sports Radio. This premier hockey podcast featured at CanadiansConnection.fm brings you the latest news, in-depth analysis, and expert commentary about the NHL's most storied franchise, the Montreal Canadiens. Hosted by Rick Stevens and Amy Johnson. Our team of credentialed journalists provides behind-the-scenes insight on the Canadiens, designed to inform, entertain, and engage Habs fans around the globe. We are proud to be the trusted source for all things Habs for more than a decade. This is the Canadiens Connection Podcast. Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to the Canadiens Connection podcast right here on Rocket Sports Radio, where we keep you informed, engaged, and entertained each and every week as we deal out and dish out the latest news and analysis and talk about the Montreal Canadiens. My name is Amy Johnson. I'm your host for today's show. This is episode 376 of the Canadiens Connection podcast, and it's all about you this week. Well, your questions at least, because this week's show is titled Inside the Habs Mailbag, Injuries, Trade Targets, and Goaltending. That's right. We're answering your questions today. And when I say we're answering, that's because there's more than one of us here. I'm also pleased to be joined in the studio every week by my wonderful co-host. He's our founder and president here at Rocket Sports. His name is Rick Stevens. How are you doing today?
Not too bad.
Hockey weekend.
Yeah, no. Can I say happy Thanksgiving? Is it still...
Sure.
Still legal to say happy Thanksgiving?
Still eating turkey, so, you know, why not?
Okay. Well, happy Thanksgiving to you and all of our listeners and friends down south of the border. I hope you've had a good Thanksgiving, Black Friday, and are preparing for Cyber Monday and got all your Christmas shopping done.
Yeah. Sure. Yeah. Sure. Me? No. Everyone else, I hope so.
And as far as feast, well, should we say something about the Colorado Avalanche today? We're going to get there.
We will. Here is what you can expect on today's show. In our first segment, of course, we're going to recap the past week for the Montreal Canadiens. That means reviewing the games that took place between last show and this show. We're also going to get you caught up on the latest roster news, and there's actually quite a bit of it this week. We'll take a dip into the Habs prospect report. There's some notable things going on with some of the Habs prospects that we want to bring to you this week. And as well, we will give you some news from around the NHL in general. All of that is in our first segment. Then in our second segment, that's when we tackle our big topic for the week. And this week, it is a Canadiens mailbag. We're taking your questions that you've sent in to us over the last couple of days, couple of weeks, and we are answering them to the best of our ability for you. So we're talking injuries, we're talking trade targets, we're talking goaltending, and yes, of course, we're going to talk about Mike Matheson. And I should mention that there will be a special guest on the show for part of that Canadiens mailbag, because as you all have come to rely on the expertise of our medical, our resident medical expert, Dr. Stephen Morris, you had some great questions for him regarding the injury status of some key players for the Canadiens, and he'll be joining us to detail some of those things and give you some great answers. So we're looking forward to that for sure.
We've directed some questions to him. You've called him out specifically to ask him for questions, mm-hmm. and we love that.
Yeah.
So we'll have all kinds of answers for you in the second segment.
Absolutely. Then, of course, in the third segment, we're going to bring you the best of your responses to last week's Canadiens Connection question of the week. and let you get back to your weekend then after that. So let's kick things off with the highlights for the games that the Canadians have played over the course of this past week. And there's actually been four of them. Starting with last Saturday's tilt in Montreal, Toronto versus the Habs. Florian Jacky making his debut, getting to suit up with his brother. Montreal came out with a big win in this one, winning, I believe it was a Jakub Dobyshyn net for this one, winning 5-2. Florian Jacky, it was a memorable night for him as well.
It was his first point, first fight, which I think his mom appreciated the point more than the fight.
But, I think so. I was hoping he was going to get a Gordie Howe.
Well, there you go. Brother Arbor, I think, liked the scrap a little bit.
Oh, the grin.
Yeah.
The grin banging on the Arbor's boards. Face, yeah.
The two goals from Noah Dobson, two goals from Josh Anderson. Canadians, both teams were struggling. The Canadians on a five-game losing streak, they put an end to that. Jakub Dobyshyn was solid and back in the winning ways, and they move on then to their three-game road trip.
That's right. So they then took off, had a couple of days because with it being Thanksgiving week here in the U.S., that means the NHL definitely changes the schedules around a bit. So not a Tuesday night game, but a Wednesday night game because, yes, Thanksgiving Eve is a very big deal here in the States. It's a great night to go out. And so people want to go watch a hockey game. And so Montreal headed out to Utah to take on the Mammoth on Wednesday night. They came out of this one on top yet again. So put together back-to-back victories, winning 4-3 over the Utah Mammoth. And we had another debut. It was Adam Engstrom's NHL debut this time.
It was. This was kind of a tale of three cities, if you can say that. Each period had its own story. The Canadians out to an early 2-0 lead. It was all Utah in the second period, scoring three straight goals. The first on a power play. Which the Canadians have to be better, Mike Matheson, on the penalty kill. No, it's just an easy, a bad mistake. Anyway, yeah. And then the Canadians with two goals in the third period with a 4-3 win. Nick Suzuki with two goals. It was Ivan Demidov. Wasn't getting a whole lot of ice time in fact, the rookies weren't getting much ice time. The young players weren't getting much ice time at all in the third period. But Demidov doesn't need much. Lots of skill. And Demidov with the game winner in this one with quite a shot. And you gotta tip the cap to Jakub Dobyshyn because the Utah just took over. Shots were in the last 40 minutes, 28-10. I saw some talking heads saying that, Mike Matheson had shut down the Utah attack in the third period. Well, he didn't. It was Jakub Dobyshyn because the shots were 15-5 in the third period. So Dobyshyn, two straight great starts and back on track.
Definitely. That meant no Thursday game. That was Thanksgiving's. But Friday, Black Friday, is a very popular day, particularly for matinees here in the States. And so Montreal got to take part in one of those, playing in Las Vegas on Friday afternoon, skating away with a breezy 4-1 victory.
And before, if I can just back up for a second, because I forgot to mention Adam Engstrom making his NHL debut on against Utah.
Yeah, I mentioned that he made his debut, but tell us how
I wanted to make. No, I just wanted to say thank you for saying that. But I just wanted to say he didn't look out of place at all. He fit right into the lineup. But then was out again against Vegas. Mm-hmm. It was the Canadians with the 4-1 win in Vegas. Caulfield with his 14th, Jake Evans, Zach Bolduc, Yuri Slavkovsky. This was a game that started. The Canadians seemed to get all the right bounces in this one, and I was a little nervous because Sam Montembeau making the start a little shaky in the first period, although he got through it. He got through it, some lucky bounces, some good defensive play, and once he got that under him, he seemed steady for the rest of the game, and it was good for him to get the win as well.
Definitely. Then that brought us to another matinee game, Saturday afternoon, Montreal traveling to Colorado. And, you know, this was, things have been breezing, man. You know, victory at home against Toronto, victory on the road against Utah, victory on the road against Vegas, and that kind of came screeching to a halt Saturday afternoon in Colorado, where the Montreal Canadiens were not actually playing the Avalanche. They were playing the Quebec Nordiques.
Nice bit of nostalgia there. I don't like the Quebec Nordiques. Never have. Don't like their...
Throwback uniforms look great, though.
I don't like their uniforms. I don't like anything about them. But yes, the throwback jerseys look great.
They really did.
And good on the Avalanche for... paying tribute to their history and their heritage series for sure.
And it's kind of fun to see Habs versus Nordiques, like that visual on the ice again.
Well, in the NHL, they termed this the Battle of Quebec and you know, Quebec in the box score and whatnot. Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. Well, that's probably where all the positive... That's probably about all the positivity we're going to muster out of this one, because this was a disgusting 7-2 loss to Colorado. And we're just going to start by saying this is not on Jakub Dobish's shoulders.
Oh, of course not.
The only thing that I will give credit to Marty St. Louis for in this game is that he didn't have the knee jerk pulling of Dobish. He let him stay in and ride it out. He needs to be able to do that. I was glad that he didn't try to, you know, put Montembeau in there to the rescue or anything. No, I think Marty has to have known the defense was terrible in front of Jakub Dobish. Forwards kept crashing into Jakub Dobish's crease, into his general space, making it difficult sometimes for him to make some saves. And the offense just wasn't there, save for the two goals that they managed to score, because Colorado won this one 7-2.
Yeah. First on Jakub Dobish. Yes, credit to Marty for leaving him in. I was impressed with Jakub Dobish. You didn't see him hanging his head. You didn't see him. He upset at,
he's getting mad
at
sometimes,
some of the goals
yeah.
and upset of people crashing his crease, of course. But he continued to battle right through the end of the game, and continued right through the third period. And their Avs had several power plays at the end. He battled right through all of that, made several big saves. This, of course, was not on him at all. I've seen some people saying that this was a scheduled loss on the calendar. I don't subscribe to that kind of thinking. Some called this a measuring stick game. Well, if that's the case, the Canadians have miles and miles and miles to go. Yeah. So, you know, put this game in the garbage can, forget about it. No, the Canadians should remember this game. This was a good measuring stick. It was a good measuring stick for the coaching staff. And listen, did the Canadians seem well prepped to go against a powerhouse like the Avs? I don't think so. This loss is on the coaching staff as much as it is on individual players. Could they have you know, played a little tighter, a little closer, a little kept the game close? I don't know. I didn't see a lot of change in the Canadian style. And thinking that they could go toe to toe with the Avs is just it's not happening. Montreal is not, as many have said, a player or two away. You see that lineup that the Avalanche have. You see the way they dominate. They dominate at home. They won regulation loss. And you start thinking about, you know, the Canadiens dynasty teams of the 70s. And you look at Montreal and you got players like Foligno and Texier and Struble and Carrier and even Anderson and Gallagher. Those players are not going to be in on the Canadiens roster when they can compete with the Avalanche. They just aren't going to be there. So the other thing, you know, the other night, a lot of people were saying, the Canadiens youth, they're a young team, and Marty had to bench them because, you know, the team's too young. I just think that's a simplistic answer and a knee-jerk response to blame everything on youth. If you look at this game, if you truly look at the game, well, it's obvious who in terms of who the goal scorers were, Demidov and Hudson. But go to a hockey stat card and look who the best Canadians were against the Avalanche. Ivan Demidov, top Canadian. Oliver Kapanen, next. Lane Hudson, next. Yuri Slavkovsky, next. Those are all young players, and they played right to the end.
They did.
Who's at the bottom? At the very bottom. You've got Josh Anderson and Brendan Gallagher and Jake Evans and Alex Texier and Joe Valeno, Mike Matheson at the bottom, Alex Carrier, Arber Xhekaj. Okay, Arber's young, I guess, but these are the veterans that dragged down, that didn't hold up their end of the bargain today. It's... I think that Marty's got to switch to playing his favorite from playing his favorites to merit. No, we said that last week, and we'll say it as long as anyone will pay attention to us, because that's the way to win. That's the way to compete.
Well, since you're talking about merit, why don't you hand out your three stars for this week?
Yeah, I'm going to start with Cole Caulfield. In the four games this week, he had 5 points, one goal, four assists, and a game-winning goal. And yeah, he can just he has the skill to be a threat out there all the time. My second star, Demidov, Ivan Demidov. He had 4 points in four games. Two goals and two assists, and that big game winner that I talked about a little earlier. And number three is Jakub Dobish. Oh, well, he got shelled against Colorado, but he got two important wins. And in those two wins, he had 2.54 goals against, .917 saves percentage. His record is now 8-3-2 on the season, which is not of a struggling goaltender. He turned things around and did so very solidly.
Do you have anyone in particular who struggled this week?
Alex Carrier. I don't know what is going on with Alex Carrier, but he's been awful, just awful this week. And he's not been very good this season at all.
No. So through 24 games played, the Canadiens are now 13-8-3 on the season. That's 29 points, putting them second in the Atlantic Division, 11th overall in the NHL. They've won three of their last four games, so that's a huge turnaround from last week where we were looking at that five-game skid. They've now won three of their last four, and so that is something positive that hopefully this hiccup in Colorado is something that they can overcome, learn from, and get back to how they were playing earlier in the week.
And they have a positive, a really strong record on the road, which is very good, especially for a young team.
Yeah.
The measuring stick, everybody knows the measuring stick. American Thanksgiving, in the salary cap era, 77% of the teams who are in a playoff position at American Thanksgiving go on to qualify for a playoff spot in the spring. The Canadians were kind of an outlier last year because they were out of a playoff spot, yet they made the playoffs. But overall, that stat has held true for, well, many, many years. Mm-hmm. The milestone this year on American, technically on American Thanksgiving, the Canadians were fourth in the Atlantic, and that put them outside of a playoff spot. After the win in Vegas, they moved into a playoff spot. So they were in one as of Black Friday. So, you know, some might argue, well, you know, they're close.
They're, yeah.
So
they're right on the line.
I think the two stats that I like to pay attention to and that are cause for concern. Regulation wins is one. We've talked about this before. Only 8 so far this year. That makes them tied for 11th. And goal differential. Their goal differential is underwater. -5, that's 12th in the East. And you know that by the end of the year, that goal differential almost lines up in terms of who's going to make the playoffs.
Okay, so let's get into some roster news. And before we do that, just want to, because it's going to be pertinent in that second segment when Dr. Morris gives us his thoughts on some of the injuries, just want to really quickly refresh your memory, since we're talking about the roster, about the Canadians injury list right now. We've got Patrick Laine out with a lower body injury, Alex Newhook out with a lower body injury, Kirby Dach out with a lower body injury. Everybody's got lower body injuries, including Caden Gooley. And so just to be different, just today, Jaden Struble was announced that he is currently dealing with an upper body injury. And he is, so he is sidelined currently as well.
All right.
Yeah.
So that's what we were worried about was I was worried about the injuries this year.
Yeah.
And it's come to pass, unfortunately. As you said, Dr. Morris, Dr. Stephen Morris, our medical expert, in the second segment because, there's getting into the mailbag and there's lots of injuries and lots of questions about those injuries. Best to let him answer those.
That's right. So continuing with the roster news for the week, last weekend, the Canadians recalled 22-year-old defenseman Adam Engstrom from the Laval Rocket. Engstrom has had a pretty decent start with Laval this year in his 18 games played. He's already racked up 14 points, 5 goals and 9 assists. And so, Rick, he made his NHL debut on Wednesday night playing in Utah against the Mammoth.
Yeah, hatless, took his hatless skate, and look, he was good in the game as well. He didn't look out of place at all. He's been Laval's best defenseman, and that's nothing against David Reinbacher. It's just Adam Engstrom has really had a good start to the season, and, mm-hmm. you know, lots of people saying, was this a showcase of some kind? Did one of those teams that Kent Hughes might be talking with, did they ask to see him in an NHL lineup? Certainly possible. Or a showcase for the Montreal Canadiens, where they wanted to see how he would look in a regular season game in the lineup. And I think whoever was watching, whoever requested it, if those are even were on the table, they should have been very satisfied that Adam Engstrom, I mean, he's got some progress to make, but looked very good in his debut.
Definitely. Then on the same day, the Canadians made a claim off the waiver wire, claiming 26-year-old forward Alexander Texier off waivers, signing him to a 1-year, $1 million contract for the remainder of this season. And he made his Canadians debut on Friday afternoon, the Black Friday matinee against the Vegas Golden Knights.
Yeah, you know, he's one of those guys, he's a skilled player, mm-hmm. loves to carry the puck, He's going to do better when there's fewer players on the ice. You know, he's not the kind of guy who is necessarily good in traffic. He's not a good defender. He's not a good forechecker. But you know, a decent, add to the roster, good hands, skilled player, and a pretty good skater as well.
Definitely. So with that, then on Monday, the Canadiens announced that forward Joshua Waugh was returned on loan back to the Laval Rocket, with Texier being claimed off waivers. They were no longer in need of the extra forward. Speaking of claiming people off waivers, if you don't succeed the first time, try again, I suppose is what the theme was, because on Thursday, while me and everyone else stateside was eating turkey, the Canadians were busy on the waiver wire yet again. But this was a familiar, it was like deja vu. The Toronto Maple Leafs putting Sammy Blais on waivers, and the Canadians obviously still miffed that when they put him on waivers earlier this season, he didn't make it to Laval. Toronto snapped him up. Well, they reclaimed him off waivers from Laval and was assigned to the Laval Rocket.
So Toronto has some guys coming back from injury, and they were able to put Sammy Blais. They picked him up on the 6th of October when the Canadians tried to send him to Laval. So with a full roster, the Leafs put him on to waivers, and the Canadians went shopping to bring him back. And the Canadians immediately sent him to the Laval Rocket. Now, how can they do that? Well, there is something in the collective bargaining agreement called Article 13.22 that says, when a club claims a player on unconditional waivers and subsequently in the same season requests waivers on the same player, and the original owning club is the successful and only club making a waiver claim, then the original owning club shall be entitled to loan such player to a club in another league within 30 days without further waivers being asked, provided that such player has not participated in 10 or more NHL games. Are you making notes for all this? I know. So because the Canadians,
the long and short of it,
wildly were able to satisfy all those conditions, that is, nobody else cared a whiff about Sammy Blais. Canadians did. So they got him because he hadn't played 10 games. They were able to send him off to the Laval Rocket.
That's right. So the shortened version is, if they've played less than 10 games in the NHL since they were claimed and no one else had put in a claim on him.
Didn't I just say that?
You did. In a rather windy, long...
Not my words.
You're not the one who wrote it. But yes, Canadians eligible to send him directly to AHL, to the AHL, don't need to keep him in the NHL for the mandatory time period, because no one else placed a claim and he hadn't played 10 games with Toronto.
Sammy was an AHL player all of last season. Mm-hmm. So it's not surprising that he goes back there.
No. I guess this should not be a surprise to a lot of people, and there are certainly plenty in the fan base who will be pleased when to have read the news that the Canadiens signed defenseman Mike Matheson to a 5-year, $30 million contract extension that will run him through to the end of the 2030-31 season, paying him an average annual salary of $6 million.
Mm-hmm. And folks are tripping over themselves to claim what a bargain that is.
Yeah.
Everybody from Mike Matheson himself saying he left a huge amount of money on the table, and the agent, and on and on and on. And maybe he didn't. Maybe there was a team out there that would have paid him more, given what might have been available on the market. It's kind of irrelevant. It's kind of, what is he worth to the Canadians? How does he fit into the salary structure? How does it compare to others? It's more of that. And I think it's not so much the $6 million a year. It is the term. And that's a few people are a little nervous about the term, the 5 years, given that he'll be 32, he'll be 37 years old at the end of the in his final year.
But also, go ahead. Maybe you were about to hit on this, so I'll let you go ahead.
Well, I think that maybe if you've been listening to this podcast, maybe you're expecting me to blast this decision. I'm not gonna itemize and go through my argument because I've lost the argument. That's fine. I haven't lost the argument. I don't think this is the right move for the Montreal Canadiens. I'll just say that. Mike Matheson isn't required as an offensive defenseman anymore. He's required. They need him as a defensive defenseman. And I think we proved quite conclusively that he's nowhere near, as some were claiming, the best defensive defenseman in the National Hockey League. He's not even the best defenseman on the Montreal Canadiens. And, we went through all the metrics, whether it be giveaways, whether it be things like the decisions he makes, whether it be puck battles, hit whatever it is, being physical, he just doesn't fit the mold of a defensive defenseman. Is he a penalty killer? No, of course he's not. He hasn't fulfilled that role. Can he work himself into that role? Well, maybe we'll see. I think that the things that concern me is that right now he's not a very good defensive defenseman, and the Canadians need one. His term bothers me. And the other thing that bothers me is Kent Hughes has done a very good job ensuring that there aren't no move clauses to tie up his hands. Well,
this was what I was, yeah.
Yeah, this is what this I was going to touch on. This is very different. Go ahead.
No, absolutely. Take it. There's a lot of trade protection in this deal.
As Puckpedia reported, the trade protection in the deal is a full no move clause in years 1 to 3, a 14 team no trade in the fourth year, and a 5-team no trade in year number 5. So he's got extensive trade protection.
In other words, he ain't going anywhere.
Yeah, he's not going anywhere. So hopefully he can transition into a defenseman who cares about his mistakes, cares about the risky decisions that he makes, cares about how he plays in his own end, cares about the penalty kill. And listen, he wasn't providing a whole, last year, 80 games, he had 30 points, 6 goals, 25 assists for 31 points. So, listen, I'm not going to dispute. Mike Matheson is a lovely, lovely skater. He really is. Is he playing the most minutes right now? Yes, because Marty St. Louis loves him. And he's playing top 10 minutes for a defenseman in the NHL. That's not saying he's playing them well. He's playing them. So he has stamina, I guess. He has the most penalty kill minutes in the league. I'll mention that the Canadians are 25th in the league in penalty killing, and Mike Matheson is obviously in charge of the penalty killing.
And they take an exorbitant amount of penalties.
They take too many penalties. Discipline is a problem. We talked about that last year. Last week, I mean.
Probably last year, too.
I can't dispute that he speaks both languages beautifully. I can't. And that seems to be a high, high, high priority for most of the Montreal media. He's a hometown guy. Well, yes, he grew up in Montreal, you know, spends his off season in the Buffalo area now, but all these things are they matter if you're putting together a narrative. Narratives don't win Stanley Cups. And listen, the Canadians haven't had an owner or a GM with the sole objective of winning a Stanley Cup in the last 30 years. And it shows. And I had hoped that Gorton and Hughes would be different. As far as if you're an analytics person, you know, Mike Matheson, analytics aren't kind to him. And if you're saying that this is a bargain, well, you look at Dom Lucician's model. Dom has Matheson's market value at $5.3 million. So the Canadians overpaid according to that model. There's the Jay Fresh model. There's other models that aren't kind to his defensive play or his penalty killing. I understand he means something more to fans than that. And I guess that's what why he was resigned, and I guess that's what they're paying for. And I just hope that he can find a role that minimizes his exposure for all the mistakes that he makes, and that he contributes in a leadership way.
And I just hope that in the second year of this contract, third year, fourth year, that we're not consistently seeing him on the lists that the pundits put together every year about, you know, the worst contracts that each team has. I hope he's not appearing on those lists. We'll see. We can only hope for the best. Now that it's a done deal, we can only hope for the best. So currently now with all of the shakeups, what do lines look like? Well, things have shifted around a little bit. Obviously, Texier comes in. Looks like he's replacing Jared Davidson. Jared Davidson is the 13th forward.
Texier against Colorado with Evans and Anderson. Jack Eye, the younger, is with Valeno and Gallagher, and he's played pretty well when he's been in the lineup. Mm-hmm. We're going to see some changes once the Canadians get home and once there's some shuffling back and forth to Laval. You know, same goes on the back end, and Engstrom's been in and out. And as you mentioned, Struble added to the injury list.
That's right. All right. Let us take a quick peek at the Habs prospect report.
It's time for the Rocket Report. The Rocket Sports Media team is your premier source for information about the Laval Rocket, the AHL affiliate of the Montreal Canadiens, as well as Habs prospects playing in the CHL, NCAA, and leagues around the world.
And of course, every week we highlight a Montreal Canadiens prospect. And it's been a few weeks since we touched on Michael Hage, and he is obviously a prospect that everyone wants to know how he's doing, clamoring for the day that he joins the Montreal Canadiens in the NHL. Well, the 19-year-old University of Michigan forward, just as a reminder, he was 21st overall pick in the first round of the draft in 2024. He tacked on 2 assists to his statistics for the season on Friday night when Michigan defeated Harvard 5-1. Rick, his numbers for the year are still pretty tremendous.
Yeah, absolutely. 17 games. He has 22 points already, 9 goals, 13 assists, and he's already a plus 10. For University of Michigan. He's having a great season. And, you know, as the year goes on and as there's not necessarily trades happening, been hearing more and more about, you know, maybe we should just wait from some of the fan base. Well, you know, an equal number are saying, let's trade Hage for...
No,
blah, 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 blah.
No.
Michael Hage is giving reason to pause on that.
No. For the Laval Rocket, they have had they had a quiet week this week. They actually didn't play any games this week. The last time they played was last Saturday when Belleville visited, and Laval absolutely trounced them at Place Belle 7-2, with Adam Engstrom scoring a goal and adding four assists. David Reinbacher with two goals. Sean Farrell with two goals and an assist. And Rick, all that was the culmination of that. I mean, that was a 5-point game for Adam Engstrom, but that was the culmination of a pretty good week for him. And the AHL named him the player of the week last week.
In three games, Adam Engstrom had three goals, four assists for 7 points. And as you said, named AHL player of the week, got his recall from Laval and made his NHL debut. What a great week for Adam Engstrom.
Lots to be thankful for. So Laval then with a 17 games into the season with an 11-6 record for 22 points. They are top of the North Division, fifth overall in the AHL. And they are about to have a very busy week. I hope they got lots of recuperation in amidst their practices and travel this past week because it is a deluge. They play tonight, Saturday, here local for me. They are playing at in Allentown at the Lehigh Valley Phantoms. Sunday, they turn around and play at the Hershey Bears. They come back to Laval on Tuesday to play against the Providence Bruins, and then they go back out on the road again next Friday and Saturday to play a doubleheader, a back-to-back in Belleville.
What a brutal schedule.
A
week off, and then 5 games in 7 days.
And that's, and part of that is the Pennsylvania road trip this weekend, which is one of their longer road trips. It's like an 8-hour bus ride.
8 days, 5 and 8, yeah.
So all the way to Pennsylvania, play 2 games, drive all the way back, play a game, and then drive to Belleville for 2 games. It's going to be a brutal week. We'll see how they do. And the Trois Rivières Lions, they're 15 games into the season. They are 8-5-0-2. They have 18 points on the season so far. They are sitting in fourth in the North Division, 13th overall in the ECHL. They're doing all right. Well, just one note for you in general NHL news, and that is, it's getting to be now that American Thanksgiving has passed. The next thing that everyone will have their sights set on will be the trade deadline and trading towards the end of the calendar year. And Nick Kypreos has his newest trade board out as of November 25th.
Yeah, we're going to be seeing, we'll sample the trade bait boards, the trade targets, over the next few weeks on the podcast. This is from Nick Kypreos, and some of the names are going to be familiar to you for sure. Vancouver is open for business with Pettersson, Kiefer Sherwood as a couple of the names that might be available there. Calgary, not off to a good start. Nazem Kadri, Blake Coleman. Boy, Blake Coleman would look good in a Canadiens jersey for sure. Justin Faulk in St. Louis. Stamkos and O'Reilly in Nashville. Marchessault, I think, available there too, although not on Nick's trade board. Braden Schenn in St. Louis, Brandon Carlo in Toronto, Radko Gudas with the Ducks, and Brad Lambert in Winnipeg. Did I miss? Oh, he has Alex Tuck here as on from Buffalo, yeah. Also on his trade board.
And Jordan Binnington. Don't you want to trade for Jordan Binnington?
Yeah. We'll see.
Yeah.
It's going to be an interesting time. As we've heard over and over again, many teams believe that they're still in it, and are unlikely to trade. So there's going to be, perhaps a lot of bidders for, a few assets out there. So,
definitely
we'll see what the prices are like.
All right. Well, we're going to take our first break here on the Canadians Connection podcast. We are going to hear a brand new incentive from our friends and sponsors over at DraftKings, talking about their brand new app, their Pick Six app. It's completely different from Daily Fantasy and DraftKings Sportsbook, so you want to check that out. And then when we come back, we are going to tackle our big topic for the week, and that means we're opening up the Canadian's mailbag, talking injuries, trade targets, goaltending, and Mike Matheson. You don't want to miss it, so stay with us. You're listening to the Canadians Connection podcast on Rocket Sports Radio.
Turkey, touchdowns, and takes. It's Thanksgiving, and the action doesn't stop at the dinner table. Feast on some winnings this holiday with Pick Six, DraftKings' newest fantasy pick'em game. Just pick more or less on two or more player stats. It's that simple. Pick Six brings you upside those other pick'em sites can't touch. The better you perform, the bigger your payout. And it's available in most states, including Texas, California, Georgia, and more. So download the DraftKings Pick 6 app now and use code THPN. That's code THPN. New DraftKings customers can play just $5 and get $50 in Pick 6 credits. Make the call. Ride the upside. In partnership with DraftKings Pick 6, the crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org in Connecticut. Must be 18 plus. Age and eligibility restrictions vary by jurisdiction. Pick 6 not available everywhere, including New York and Ontario. Void where prohibited. One per new customer. Bonus awarded as non-withdrawable Pick 6 credits that expire in 14 days. Limited time offer. Terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
And welcome back to the Canadians Connection podcast here on Rocket Sports Radio. Once again, my name is Amy Johnson. If you'd like to follow my coverage over on X, you're welcome to do so. My handle over there is at Flyers Rule. And once again, of course, with me in the studio is my co-host and our president and founder. He's Rocket. He is Rocket Sports. His name is Mr. Rick Stevens, but you want to follow him on X as well, at Rocket Sports. That's our main account, main Twitter account. You want to follow that one, absolutely. Don't forget to subscribe to the podcast if you haven't done so already. Don't forget to subscribe to our YouTube channel, because you can also listen to or watch the podcast over there as well. That is the easiest way to find our YouTube channel is just head to InsideTheCanadians.com. That'll take you right to our YouTube channel. And of course, always, if you have a moment and you can share the podcast on your podcast platform or with your social media followers, we always appreciate that as well. All right. So it is time for a Rocket Sports mailbag, answering questions from you. We always invite our listeners and viewers to submit questions either at specific times or just throughout the weeks and so forth. You definitely responded. And a lot of the comments and questions that you sent in were focused on injuries, trade targets, coaching, and the Canadiens' goaltending situation. Gee, those all seem to be popular themes the last few weeks. We will mention, you know, we're going to, and hey, that doesn't mean, since we're doing a mailbag, you haven't missed the boat. If you'd like, if you have a question that you'd like to have included in our next mailbag, you know, send us a text on the Rocket Sports text line at 5853-ROCKET, or drop a comment on YouTube or on Spotify, or, you know, at Habs Connection on Twitter, on Facebook or Instagram. Just make sure that whenever you submit something for the mailbag, just give us your first name and where you are writing in from. And so we are going to run through the questions that we did receive.
And I'll just add that we'll do our best to answer the questions, but it's not just you and I, it's the Rocket Sports team that's available.
Yeah.
So you can ask, if you want to ask about fantasy hockey. We got you covered on that with Brian Beasy, our fantasy sports commissioner. If you want to ask something about specifically about Laval or Trois-Rivières, Chris G pays attention to that for the Rocket Sports team. If you follow Canadian junior hockey and want to ask about Habs prospect, Mike Raschel is the guy for that. And you apparently the word's out that we have a medical expert, Dr. Stephen Morris, because we had loads of injury questions, and we had to bring Stephen, Dr. Morris, in to help us answer some of these questions this week.
Absolutely. And we are going to get to him in just a moment. We are going to start, however, I will make a note. Some of the questions will have been lightly edited either for clarity or for length, just to kind of keep things moving. But we always stay true to what you've written in. And we're going to start with Trevor, who was writing in from Kingston, Ontario, who asks, are you sure that Team USA's will... Let me try that again. Are you sure that Team USA will pass up adding Cole Caulfield to the Olympic team? He's top 10 in goals in the league and is maybe on his way to 50. I wouldn't want to see him in the U.S. lineup when they face Canada.
I'm not sure.
No.
and yes, I agree 100%. I wouldn't want to see him in the U.S. lineup.
I would.
Yeah, well, you know, he is so dynamic. He can change the course of a game. As we've seen, he can snipe a goal from just about anywhere on the ice. That goal against Vegas and Aiden Hill, my goodness. And that isn't the first time he's done that. Now we're just going with the projected roster. And we heard Pierre LeBrun say it's unlikely that Cole Caulfield makes the roster. Bill Guerin was asked about a bunch of skilled players, including Cole Caulfield, in the last week. The GM the U.S. Olympic team, Team USA, and Bill Guerin said, no matter what their offensive gifts are, if you can't check, it's probably not the tournament for you, end of quote.
Well.
Which is interesting. And we're not saying, you know, Cole Caulfield's done a lot to improve his defensive game, but we'll see how that is seen relatively by the Team USA folks. I think Bill Guerin was just providing an excuse or an out for in case, there are a lot of skilled players and some of them are going to be left off the list. Now, having said all that, there's injuries. There's lots of injuries this year, not only with the Montreal Canadiens, mm-hmm. but with teams around the league. And so... could a spot open up for Cole Caulfield? Of course. To answer, are we sure? No, we're not sure at all. We're just passing on what we've been told.
Charles in Montreal writes in and says, the Habs power play started the season just as I expected. We can put five guys out there that are as good or better than any team in the league. It was unsustainable for sure, but it really seems to have cooled off. What's the one change you would make to make sure the power play is a constant threat? Good question.
Yeah, I like this question. And I'm going to take it maybe in a different direction than Charles was hoping. I think he's talking about the personnel specifically, whether Demidov should be on the first wave, Slavkovsky, Bolduc, you know, who should be in there. And the Canadians have dynamic skilled players in specifically Demidov and Hudson and Caulfield that you might want to see on the first wave every time it goes out there. I think what I would like, the addition that I would like, the change that I would like, has to do with coaching. We talked about this
last
week, and that is, you know, special teams coaches, whether they're skills coaches, whether they're shooting coaches, whether they're power play coaches, whether they're a penalty kill coach. I think that the Canadians, Marty tries to do it all. He really, he likes to have that control. He likes to, you know, have the gratitude and whatnot if things work out. He's got to let go of some things. And I don't know that the Canadians have, in terms of their coaching staff, enough talent to go around to all the specialities. And I'd really like to see them add to the coaching staff, particularly someone who has some experience, who has some proven ability with special teams. And at some point, they're going to have to look to the Laval Rocket. The Laval Rocket, the coaching staff is doing great things. Pascal Vincent is doing heroic work. His talents are being fully utilized in Laval, but could he make a greater impact with Montreal? You know, the Canadians need some coach on the coaching help on the defensive side with a penalty kill. Daniel Jacob, is he someone you could add to the coaching staff? We threw out the question last week. Is Eric Raymond, is he the guy, the goaltender coach that, I mean, is he doing what he should be doing? Is he getting the most out of Dobish and Montembeau? Is he able to build their confidence and provide them with the technical skills and advice? And can he be an advocate for the goaltenders too? Marty St. Louis, because as we heard, Marty said he doesn't know anything about goaltending, and he's kind of undermined the confidence for sure this season. Can there be a better advocate for the goaltenders? Is Marco Marciano, again from Laval, someone, or is there someone in the league? I think the Canadians are going to have to, you know, Jeff Gorton said they would go from department to department to department to department and make upgrades. And they've done it all over the organization. I think they're happy with Marty. I get it. But I think they need to make some upgrades on the coaching side for Montreal.
I think so as well. We're going to stick with the goaltending theme for this next question. This comes in from Shane in Albany, New York. And Shane writes, Fowler is a lock to be the goalie of the future. He's on fire in Laval. With Monte and Dobesh crapping the bed this season, don't mince words, Shane. Who's the next guy up to be Fowler's backup of the future?
Okay.
So we're going way down the line here now. So Fowler is now starting goaltender, and Shane wants to know who's going to be his backup.
And he says of the future, and okay, let's project out. I'm gonna say it's a little too soon to drop the guillotine on Dobish being the backup, or does Dobish have a confidence problem or an issue so far? Maybe. Can that be addressed? Yeah, I think so. And is he a good technical goaltender? Yes. Could he be a good backup? Sure. So I'm going to skip by the premise. But as far as, you know, who's in the pipeline, glad to talk about that. Mm-hmm. Love to talk about goaltenders. Was it last week? Was it the week before we talked about Quentin Miller? Quentin Miller, Canadiens prospect, goaltender. He's at the University of Denver. His first season in the NCAA. He's having a great season so far. Record of 8-3-1, 941 save percentage, 164 goals against. Already has two shutouts. He's been very good, and maybe surprisingly so, for the University of Denver. We've talked about in the past as well, Jenny Volokhin. He played for a really bad Sochi team last year, and his record suffered in the KHL. This year, playing for Spartak, has only played three games in the KHL, but has played 16 games in the VHL, and we know the equivalents there. There, he has a 9-5-2 record. 174 goals against, 935 save percentage, two shutouts. He's off to a great season. What about Alexi Cornwallier? Alexi Cornwallier, he's been very good. He has he's played 7 games for Cornell. He's also in the NCAA. He has a 6-1-0 record, 130 goals against, 953 save percentage. And he was just named this past week the ECAC Hockey Rookie of the Week for the second time already this season. That was just announced on Monday. So I can't tell you who's next man up, but the Canadians, I think they've done well in drafting goaltenders. Mm-hmm. And Vinny Riondo's played a big part in that. And I think they've realized there was a while there where the Canadians weren't drafting goaltenders, but they've started doing that again. They've drafted some good ones. There's Emmett Croteau in Dartmouth. There's Vakvanex in the queue.
Miku's Vakvanex.
Yeah, with Newfoundland. Who am I missing?
Did you talk about Quentin Miller?
Yeah, he was the top one. Arseny Radkov in the queue with the Armada. So the Canadians they got a number of arrows in the quiver, as they say, and hopefully one of these guys is going to pan out. And it's a long journey, but I think there's some good ones on the horizon.
All right. That was a very robust answer. I hope Shane got a lot out of that. all right. Next up, we have a question about trading. And this is a question. Will Hugo make a deal to add a 2C before the Christmas break? We know. I'm going to take an aside here. We know that this was supposed to be the goal over the summer. Didn't happen. So this is a question of, you know, will Hughes and Gorton try to get that 2C deal done before the Christmas break? They go on to say, I want Sid, but I'll settle for Tage Thompson.
All right. And there was no name attached to this. We'd really love if you put your name and where you're from. This one, we had two, we're featuring two this week that came into the Rocket Sports text line. That's 585 through Rocket. Both, I know, both that we're going to be talking about today came from the 514 area code. So in and around Montreal anyway. So unnamed person from 514 who wants Sid but will settle for Tage Thompson. And will Hugo make a deal before Christmas? You know, would they like to? Of course. And I think that trade window is starting to open slowly. But as I said earlier, I think that there's a lot of teams that really think that they're still in it. Is it Nashville, Calgary off to a bad start, Buffalo struggling, Vancouver struggling, St. Louis, are they ready to get into trade talks now? Well, I think it varies by team. Let's hit the Tage Thompson one head on. Elliot Friedman says, with respect to Buffalo, Tage Thompson is not on the trade block. And so you can
sorry, you're going to have to settle down for someone else.
Yeah, you're going to, well, I guess Sid. Guess that's,
well, yeah.
St. Louis, it was a couple of weeks ago. St. Louis is struggling. We saw on Nick's list that Jordan Binnington's on that list. Justin Falk, I think, was the other one. Mm-hmm. Jordan Kyrou, remember, he was a healthy scratch, and there was lots of buzz about him. I just don't think that Jordan Kyrou is necessarily a good fit for the Montreal Canadiens. Lots of interest in Calgary, and of course that would be Nazem Kadri. That would be a good fit for the Montreal Canadiens. I think Flames fans were pretty disappointed to hear the owner come out and say, hey, we're not in a rebuild. And that might have something to do with the fact that he's got a new arena getting ready to open. But if they're not in a rebuild and they're not winning, then, you know, what in the world are they doing?
Mm-hmm.
Vancouver, well publicized that Vancouver sent out an email to all teams beginning of last week saying they are open for business. So bring on the offers. Jim Rutherford likes to get trades done early, well in advance of the trade deadline and in advance of the holiday freeze. So there's certainly a possibility there. Are there pieces there for the Canadians? Maybe. That's possible. Which brings us to Nashville.
Well, yeah. And Nashville's that we talked about it last week. There were a couple of scouts, including the head scout from Nashville at the Bell Center recently. What was that about? Who were they looking at? It's well publicized that, you know, could it be Stamkos? Could it be Ryan O'Reilly? Marchessault obviously would be somebody that the Canadians would target. I say, particularly when I saw this come out from Pierre LeBrun this week, Kent can just stay away from trying to get Ryan O'Reilly, because allegedly, according to LeBrun, the price to get Ryan O'Reilly is going to be a first round pick and an A-level prospect. And I say that's too expensive.
Yeah. And what are you considering an A-level prospect? You have to say a big fat no.
Mm-hmm.
If the ask is Jacob Fowler, if it's Michael Hage, if it's David Reinbacher, if it's Zarofsky, it's just a flat no. To any of those. And Ryan O'Reilly, you know, he could be a second line center, third line center, and fit in quite nicely. But you're getting him for what, a season and a half? And is the price you're going to have to pay worth it? You know, Marchessault, we talked about it before. Canadians tried to entice him. He said no thanks and went to Nashville. But do the Canadians need another small player like Marchessault? I just don't think he fits.
So, to answer Anonymous's question, we don't know if Hugo's going to make a deal to fill that 2C slot before the Christmas break. In the speculation, there were more things we were able to cross off the list than put on the potential list. And it's just going to be interesting to see if the right scenario comes up before the Christmas break without having to sell the farm to make it happen, because that's going to be a key piece of it. Kent Hughes and Jeff Gordon have to stick by that. You know, we're not going to give away our youth just for a short-term fix. So,
and instead, maybe you're making upgrades elsewhere with a Kiefer Sherwood from Vancouver, or Blake Coleman from Calgary, or especially in this period right now as the trade window starts to open.
Yeah. Next, we have a question from Gilles, who lives in NDG in Quebec, and he says, right, Matheson's signed for 5. We're told he's the best conditioned athlete in the world and his skating stride won't fade anytime soon, so let's play this out. Does Matheson stay with Dobson on the first pair for the foreseeable future? That means Lane Hutson stays on the right side with Gouley and Reinbacher is stuck as a third pair D-man. Or Gouley Dobson, Hutson Reinbacher, and MSL gets to tell Mike, hey, I took a pay cut for you. It gets to tell Mike, I took a pay cut for you, that his ice time is being cut in half and he's being shipped to the third pair. This doesn't make any sense. There's a lot to unpack in that.
Gilles, I think you've hit the nail on the head. And the Canadians have to have gamed this. They have to have gone through, the availability. They see remember at the beginning of the season, we were all expecting Caden Gooley to be with Dobson. Mm-hmm. That seemed to be a natural, an absolute natural, that Dobson would have a physical player, because Dobson's not physical, and that you could get Gooley and Dobson against the opposition's best players. Instead, they chose Matheson, not very good defensively, and Dobson instead, going for the veteran kind of presence. And that bumped, well, it kept Hudson on his wrong side. Now, you think that your two prime young defensemen, parts of the core, that you'd start there. You'd slot those guys in first, that you would build your defense around Lane Hudson, around a Caden Gooley, and then everybody else, wherever they fit in, okay, that's fine. But the fact that, you know, for the foreseeable future, Lane Hudson's got to play on his wrong side, or Mike and yeah, I like the Mike, I took a pay cut
for you.
you're having Marty St. Louis say, no, I'm cutting you down to 13 minutes. I don't see Marty having
the spine,
the stones to do that. Yeah. I really don't. And yes, there's injuries and yes, people get traded and, but you know, Carrier has been a weak link. Jaden Struble has been slightly better than Arber Xhekaj, but Arber Xhekaj gives you an element. There's a lot of moving. You have Engstrom, who shows he can play. You're expecting Rheinbacher to be in the mix. And not only in the mix, but in a feature way. Mm-hmm. I don't know how, Mike Matheson kind of upsets this. But he's going to be around for the foreseeable future. And Jill, I can't answer your question. It doesn't make good sense to me either.
And we'll commend Jill on the great breakdown. It's a great question and laid out really well. Wish we had a more solid answer right now. But the crystal ball is a little cloudy at this moment. All right, so next up, we actually have three questions that have come in. Three that have come in, all for our resident medical expert, Dr. Stephen Morris. These questions are from Joseph in Verdun, Quebec, Evan from Prince Albert, Saskatchewan. And again, someone texting in didn't leave their name or where they're from, but they are... have a 514 area code, so general Montreal area. And so we're going to turn the mic over to Dr. Morris because he's going to talk a little bit. He's going to answer these questions. He'll tell you what the questions are specifically, but he's going to address from the medical side of things. Again, keeping in mind he hasn't examined any of the Habs players. This is just talking him and his medical expertise as a physician, describing and discussing the injuries that certain players have sustained and what the typical recovery for those injuries is like. And so he's going to touch on things about Alex Newhook, about Caden Gooley, and even about Nick Suzuki. So I am going to stop talking and I am going to let the expert, the medical expert, Dr. Stephen Morris, take the microphone.
Hello, Amy and Rick. Thanks again for having me back on the Canadians Connection podcast. Despite a hectic move recently, I've been really trying to make time to jump on and join you guys because, of course, there's been a lot happening with the Montreal Canadiens, especially with all these injuries that are piling up. And boy, I know that my first instinct every time I see another injury report or that someone is out for 8 weeks, 12 weeks is to message the Slack chat with all the people on Habs Connections and let Rick and Amy know how disappointed I am in this team with the injuries. But we move on, you know, that's what they say. So I'm going to touch on a couple of injuries between Caden Gooley, Kirby Dach, and Alex Newhook. And actually, we're going to do that framed in a couple of questions from listeners, and then I might touch on some things at the end. So I might just jump into it. We have a lot of great questions about these injuries, and they're really, really good thoughts. So starting with Joseph from Verdun, he says, hey, Stephen, I've heard one of the talking heads say that Newhook was, quote, lucky that he fractured his ankle instead of it being a high ankle sprain. Can I explain? Yeah, I mean, in a way he is. Like, you may remember from when I talked about his high ankle sprain injury last year. The problem with the high ankle sprain, when you compare that to just simply fracturing bones in the leg, which are the tibia or the fibula, is that, you know, you're injuring soft tissues and the ability to repair that surgically is so much more tricky because of the dynamic loads and distributions and way that they support joints. Whereas with bone, you know, really you, in all essence, you can line it back up, you can pin it together and it will grow back together, then you can take the pins out. And it's a little bit more simple in that way. And the recoveries are actually less complicated than they would be for soft tissue injuries. So, you know, in a way, he is lucky. Now, whether that's going to come out in him returning any quicker than he would have from a high ankle sprain, I guess time will tell. Like, you know, depending on the degree of the sprains versus the multiple bones he had fractured potentially, you could be looking at up to 8 weeks to 12 weeks for Newhook to be back. I think that, you know, it's not going to be hugely different to if he had a degree, like a low degree of a high ankle sprain. But I suspect that there's a lower chance for complication with this injury and this way of addressing the injury as opposed to, say, a high ankle sprain, where I think you could have more setbacks in the rehabilitative process. So I'm hopeful for Newhook. I think overall, like everyone is just so, you know, you feel for the guy every year. It's another thing. It's his ankle 2 years in a row. He's really was looking really, really good on that second line. And really, you know, we just hope that his rehab goes well. But I suspect, you know, 4 months, something like that, we'll be seeing him maximum, unless he gets a setback. And in terms of setbacks, I mean, physiotherapy and the rehabilitative process for the muscles and tendons and bones is pretty straightforward. The bigger concern would be, like, does he get infections and that sort of thing post-operatively, which is a very low likelihood. So thank you for the question, and that is one that you do hear quite a bit. There's Evan in Prince Albert, and he says that he's not a Habs fan, but he does love the show, and he also loves Caden Gooley because he used to play out in Prince Albert. So he was wondering about why the Habs waited a month before scheduling surgery for Gooley. Specifically, he says, was there a chance that his partial tear would heal on its own without surgery? And the answer, Evan, is yes. That's exactly what they were hoping for, probably. They were probably hoping that his adductor tear would heal and rehab to the point where he could play meaningful minutes in the NHL without undergoing surgery, because, you know, when you go under the knife, you are extending your time out in the terms of months. With Caden, you know, like, just to sort of set the picture for those who don't know, the adductor muscle groups are essentially, they tie the pelvis into the inside of the femur bone, which is the bone of the upper leg. And it's responsible for essentially pulling the leg in towards the body. Adduction is the name of that movement, and thus they are named the adductors. It's a really common hockey injury because of the nature of skating, unfortunately. And I think we saw Matthew Tkachuk go through this same process with his, I believe he had an adductor injury which needed surgery as well. You can partially tear them and hope that those tendons reheal on their own. That injury can happen closer to the origin, which is at the pelvis, or at the insertion, which is on the femur. But, you know, what can happen is the tendons can pull off, or even those bones, the bone that attaches can pull off, and they may need surgery to fix it back on. So in doing so, you know, you do push back Caden's recovery, probably for like something like 4 months. My understanding for his timeline is something like 8 to 12 weeks following surgery. So yeah, you're right on the nose, I think. They were hoping that he'd be able to come back, but unfortunately he either didn't, and they realized, you know what, now's the time to pull the trigger, or he actually hurt it in his process of trying to rehab the partial tear. So it's one of those two, but either way, he ends up with surgery for the adductor. Now the last question comes from the 514 area code, and it was regarding Nick Suzuki. The question was essentially, what are my thoughts or guesses about Nick Suzuki? He's been missing practices, but been playing games. He doesn't seem to be himself out there after blocking that shot. And the shot he's referring to, I think, is the one against Philadelphia from Travis Konecny. Shouldn't Martin St. Louis be trying to reduce his ice time if he's playing hurt? Is a question. So it's a really good question. And I think we see a lot of this in major league sports, not only the NHL. Some sports are better at it than others, though, I think. So I think as a rule, at least my opinion, not that I know exactly how this staff sort of manage their injuries, but I think that they look at a player and they say, okay, is this guy, it's like binary. Like, can you play or can you not play to the level that he needs to be playing at? I don't think that they would be playing Nick Suzuki if they were, especially given the importance he has on the team, if they were worried that something was going to get worse, if they were worried that he wasn't going to be playing effectively. But certainly your point about how he's been looking on the ice as well as missing practices is well taken. Certainly a lot of outlets, podcasts have also been saying the same thing, and they've been wondering if he's hurt or not. I think that his performance last night against the Mammoth has probably put a lot of that to bed. I think also, you know, you can be hurt in the NHL without being injured. Those are two different things. And so if Nick and the staff all talk and they say, look, I have something, I blocked a shot, but it's not something that's going to change the way that I play the game. It's not something that's going to impair me from playing at the highest level, then I think they move forward with that. So those are two different things in fairness. Now, there's a lot of argument to be made about load management, which is kind of the heart of your question, just slightly different. I think load management comes into play when you look at someone like Brendan Gallagher, who the rigors of an 82-game season would seriously take a toll on him probably, and they should think about maybe resting him when they're playing 3 and 4, for example, or where they go through tough stretches on the road, just to preserve as much of what they can for Brendan in the season. But when it comes to injuries, I think like you're either calling someone injured or you're not, and playing hurt though is very different. Missing the time at practice is probably how they're answering your question and managing the workload for Nick Suzuki, and they're confident that the way he can play in games will be sufficient. But it's a great question, and it's always going to be a debate in the NHL, of course, whether it's about playing injured, whether it's about managing players' ice time. But I think when you have such an important player like Nick in the lineup, like he's in your lineup and he's there to be played. So, but it's a great question. So that would do it for all the questions that we got. And we touched on most of all the injuries. The last one I'll talk about just briefly is Kirby Dach, who broke his foot. Thankfully for Kirby, between him and all his teammates, he has the most simple injury. And if you're looking for what sort of timeline, what sort of recovery to expect, go look at David Reinbacher, who had the exact same problem at the start of the year. Now, in fairness, there's many bones in your foot. There's the tarsal bones, the metatarsal bones, the phalanx. Like, you can break a lot of bones in your foot. But I think, you know, after blocking a shot, the likelihood that you broke a metatarsal bone is relatively high, just given their distribution and where they are on the boot. And he probably, I don't know if he's getting surgery for this, but he probably doesn't require it unless there's a significant fracture in many pieces of that bone that needed to be pinned back together. He'll probably do just fine to be in a boot or a cast for up to 6 weeks and letting that bone heal. The boot of the hockey skate is very protective, although of course you can break your foot still. It will be nice for him to be able to get back on skates when the pain is tolerable and the fracture stable enough. And I think you'll look at something very similar to David Reinbacher's injury. And, you know, from all accounts, in terms of watching him play in the NHL, it doesn't look like his foot per se is any issue stopping him from playing at a level that he's used to. So it's relatively good news for Kirby on the grand scale of things. I mean, imagine we were talking about another ACL injury or something like that. So let's take our wins where we can get them. And hopefully he's back in the lineup soon, because certainly it looked like he was starting to make strides. So that'll do it for my piece here. Thank you so much for everyone who's sending questions. Thank you to Amy and Rick who had me on the podcast once again. And I look forward to keeping an eye on the Canadians, watching these chaps that come back from their injuries, and making sure that if anything else comes up that we get on the podcast to address all of it. Thanks so much.
Thank you so much, Dr. Morris. We just love when you are on the show. We are always happy to have you on the podcast because you are able to break down the injury report in a way that neither Rick nor myself would ever be able to, and with such skill, such knowledge, such expertise. And not only that, just be able to give all of us listening some insight on what these players will go through to recover and what we might be able to expect from them when they are back in playing action. So thank you again. We will be sure to have you on the show again soon. That's up to all of you out there sending in your questions about medical and injury related items related to the Montreal Canadiens.
We're very fortunate to have Stephen Morris on our Rocket Sports team. He was able to answer all the three questions about Newhook and Gouley and Suzuki. And he even added a bonus there about Kirby Doc. That's much appreciated. He loves getting the questions. We also talk in our internal Rocket Sports Slack all the time, and he's able to inform us as well. So it's great to have him on the team.
So you've asked us the questions. We've answered them to the best of our ability. And now it's time for us to ask you a question to answer. It is our Canadians Connection question of the week. Here is what we would like to hear from you this week. We want to know if you think, should Kent Hughes pursue a short-term veteran, or should he stay patient and wait until top prospects can be added to the core? So this is that trade target thing that we've got going on. Do you think Hughes should go ahead and pursue a short-term veteran to fill some holes, or should he just stay patient, ride this out, and wait until the top prospects who should be coming through to fill those roles can be added to the core? Send us a text. Rocket Sports text line is 5853-ROCKET. Drop us a comment on YouTube or on Spotify, or hit us up on social media at Habs Connection on Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram. We'll take your best responses and read them next week on the show. And that is exactly what we're going to do on the other side of this break. We'll be reading your best responses from last week's question of the week. In the meantime, we have our good friends and sponsors, Rakuten.ca, has a very special incentive for you. This is a big shopping weekend, Black Friday, Cyber Monday, and they have a special announcement and incentive for all of our Canadians Connection listeners. So check that out and then stay with us because you are listening to the Canadians Connection podcast on Rocket Sports Radio.
Are you scouring the web for the best Black Friday and Cyber Monday deals? Stop it! Get Rakuten. Rakuten is a shopping sidekick that gets you cash back on gifts for everyone on your list. Right now, you can get up to 15% cash back at the stores you love. You can even stack cash back on top of the biggest sales of the year. That's savings on savings. It's more time shopping and less time searching. With Rakuten, you're always saving at your favorite stores on the things you're already buying. Cash back is automatically added to your account as you shop, and you can get paid via Interac e-transfer, PayPal, or check. Now's the time to join. Up to 15% cash back ends on December 1st. Plus, new members will receive a welcome bonus after minimum qualifying purchases. Just go to Rakuten.ca, download the app, or install the browser extension. That's Rakuten. Terms and conditions apply.
And welcome back to episode 376 of the Canadians Connection podcast here on Rocket Sports Radio. Don't forget, if you have a moment, and make sure you not only subscribe to the podcast and to our YouTube channel, but also if you are so inclined, the greatest way that we could say thank you to you this weekend is if you would share this podcast episode on your favorite social media channels. It's really easy to do in whatever podcast player or on YouTube, if you're watching there. Just tap the share button and share on your favorite platform. And that goes a long way towards helping us continue to grow our community of listeners and viewers here on the show. So thank you very much. Also, don't forget to keep an eye on our coverage, our written coverage over at hockeyhotstove.com. You can just go there, click on the Canadiens logo. That takes you straight to our written coverage over on hockeyhotstove.com. And don't forget to send in your answer to this week's Canadiens Connection Question of the Week. Want to thank you all so much for all of your questions that you sent in for the mailbag for this week's episode. But you still have an opportunity to have your voice heard. We like to make this a very interactive show. And so each week we'll ask you a Canadiens Connection Question of the Week. The idea is we want you to send in your answers. We're going to read them all and we're going to pull the best ones out and read them on next week's show. So don't forget, send us an answer to the question of, should Kent Hughes pursue a short-term veteran or stay patient and wait until top prospects can be added to the core? Now, last week on the show, we asked, do you believe Marty St. Louis and his coaching staff have the tools to get the Canadiens back on track? And boy, there was some opinions on this one.
Indeed. Asking about Marty St. Louis, his coaching staff and their tools, we heard on YouTube from P. Moran Fidelt. And P. Moran Fidelt says, we need two coaches for this team to succeed, and you stated it very clearly. I think he means we need to add two coaches. The special teams, especially the penalty kill and the goalie coaching, needs to be addressed. If they're not, the team will not make the playoffs and St. Louis will be on the chopping block. He has stated that he doesn't have a lot of knowledge when it comes to goalie coaching, so he needs to find someone to take over and help him out. Thank you to P. Moran Fidelt. Great comments.
Next comment is from our friend Leonid. He's over in St. Petersburg, actually. He's an avid listener of the show and an avid Habs fan. And he says, hello. As always, after listening to the podcast, there is something to think about, which happens not often at all. In my opinion, this coaching staff just doesn't have enough talent to manage such a complex structure as an NHL team. I don't remember a game that went wrong, but the coach's decisions turned the game around and the team won. I don't see any bug fixes. The claims of fans and experts are the same as they were a year ago. Only expectations have changed. It's a very astute observation.
And thank you, Leonid, from St. Petersburg. He also asked a question, which we're going to get to maybe next week, that was kind of a little off topic, but a very good question on the player assistance program. So we'll pick that up next week.
That's right. We also had, this one was not an answer to the question, but this was a comment that was submitted on YouTube by one of our frequent, one of our loyal viewers and frequent commenters after the Mike Matheson contract was signed. At Frank Huber 9912 simply wrote in and said, Matheson! Mr. Rick's favorite player, you bet I'll be listening.
Well, I hope I didn't disappoint if Frank was looking for a rant, but you heard my feelings earlier. As far as our Rocket Sports team, I think the feeling on our Rocket Sports Slack chat was disappointed with the term. One of our team said the 5 years is excessive, and the no move clause for the first 3 years is not very helpful. So those were the concerns of beyond me. Those were the concerns of our team.
That's right. And you had one more from YouTube as well. This was again in response to the question of, do you believe Marty St. Louis and his coaching staff have the tools to get the Canadiens back on track?
This comes from Habanations at Habanations. Yes, Pee Wee St. Louis is the best coach in the league. If he can't do it, nobody can. That was a lie. The Habs have a Pee Wee coach. He overplays his vets over the rookies. He tries to win in a rebuild, causing the team to get worse picks. I'm done with him and his quotes. Let me check the tape on that. Go Habs, go from Habanations.
That's fun. Of course, the nod to Marty can't ever answer a question in a press conference post game without saying, I haven't watched the tape yet. So very on the nose. Touche there, Habanations. Lots of Habs action coming up. Now that the matinee games over the weekend are all wrapped up, they will be back to a Tuesday night schedule in Montreal, where the Ottawa Senators are coming to town to play at the Bell Center at 7 p.m. But it is a back-to-back night. Ottawa will play at the Bell Center Tuesday night at 7. Winnipeg comes to town on Wednesday night at 7:30. And then the following weekend, there's going to be a Saturday-Sunday. Montreal visiting Toronto on Saturday night, then turning around and coming back to the Bell Center to invite St. Louis. It's just, there's a lot going on.
So
the two back-to-backs in the same week.
And a full weekend next weekend. So you're going to want to stay with us.
That's right. Our next episode, of course, will take place before those two games next weekend. It'll be on Saturday, December 6th, where we will break down Tuesday and Wednesday's game and lots more. What will our big topic be next week? Well, you're going to have to tune in to find out. So make sure that you are subscribed to the podcast. And thank you so much for listening to the Canadians Connection podcast on Rocket Sports Radio.
Click subscribe so you never miss an episode of Canadians Connection. Follow us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at Rocket Sports.